Good morning, everyone. This is Jeffy Kennedy, romanticy author of Epic Fantasy Romance. I'm here with my first cup of coffee. Today is Monday, April 8th, solar eclipse day. It's going to be a full solar eclipse here in the United States. Not quite where I am. We have, I think, about 80% totality here, but it's also overcast. So I hope if you traveled somewhere to see the solar eclipse that you could see it. I've been hearing from friends and so forth who've traveled to see the eclipse, and it's sounding like a lot. There's a lot of enthusiasm for this one, so maybe it's great. I hope it's great. I'm glad I'm not down in Texas, because it sounds like an awful lot of people down in Texas right now. I actually had to restart the podcast today because I don't have my intro practiced enough, but I said it wrong the first time, but we're getting there. So here we are, brand new week, busy week for me. I've mentioned some on Friday's podcast. I'll be traveling this week to the Jack Williamson Lectureship. There are going to be some other amazing people. This is one of my favorite things to do because it is both good for my favorite thing, me and my work, that I can, sort of blah, 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 not be able to speak. I want to say, like, promote my work. It's a new audience. It's a great way to reach people, even if it is a small crowd. And the other authors there are so much fun, and it's going to be just great conversations. So my friend Kelly Robson, the fabulous and amazing Kelly Robson, is flying in on Wednesday, at which point I will pick her up, and she and I are going to go stay at a spa in, of all places, near Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. It's a Ted Turner resort. So this is an experiment. Should be interesting. I am excited to do this. It's always really great to spend time with Kelly, who's one of my very favorite people and closest friends. So I'm looking forward to that connectedness, Becca Syme. Yes. That connectedness of spending time with a very good friend. And then, so we'll stay there Wednesday night. Thursday, we'll head over to Portales, New Mexico, at the Garden Spot of New Mexico, where Eastern New Mexico University is located. The university campus is actually quite lovely. And we will be doing various kinds of authoring things, a party that night. And then on Friday morning, I am going to record the podcast from the new podcasting studio. So we've got a plan to do that, and I will hopefully get it uploaded that morning. Note to self, I need to ask Kelly to if she's willing to interview me. So it might be a conversation with me and Kelly. It might be just me babbling on as usual, but we'll see. It'll be interesting to do it from the actual studio. I feel like I'm being dragged, kicking and screaming, into higher production values here. And then on the rest of Friday, we'll be doing things. Martha Wells is the guest of honor. So she will be, I keep thinking of things. I need to check with Assistant Corinne on something. That reminded me that Assistant Corinne is looking to get a signed book from Martha Wells, so thought I'd better ask her about that. Getting my ducks in a row here. My ducks are kind of running around, quacking, headless. Is that chickens? Probably. Anyway, she'll do a reading. She'll do a keynote at the lunch. We'll have panels that afternoon, party that night. Saturday morning, the amazing, fabulous Connie Willis will be giving her talk on, who knows? She always does a writing workshop on Saturday morning and gets all the authors to sit up front and join in. So it ends up being like this group teaching thing, and we learn from each other. Connie picks the topic, and she's very organized, and she has all of her notes and everything. So I'm interested to hear what she's going to do this year. So yeah, if you're anywhere near the Texas Panhandle or want to be, come on over to the Jack Williamson Lectureship at Eastern New Mexico University. Yeah, so that's going to be a fun week. And then I'll be back on Saturday. Kelly is going to come home with me and stay for a few days. So maybe we'll make her be on the podcast a week from today. Though she might not be awake yet. We won't drag her out of bed to do it. So let's see, where am I in my life? Who knows? I had an okay week on Reluctant Wizard last week. It was not fantabulous. It was not terrible. I had a couple of very low word count days, but I feel like I'm picking up steam. Friday was... This is what I get for sending out messages. Now people have replied to me. But it's good. It's good. Corrine does want a signed book. And I thought of things that I needed to remember to tell Kelly about our plans. So anyway, Friday. Friday was, I want to say it was not a good writing day, but it was a good day. I did deal with some lawyer phone calls and a few other semi-crises. And I got interviewed by a Washington Post reporter, which was interesting, talking about generative AI and where CIFWIS stands on that these days. So that was a good conversation. And then I had to run out in the afternoon, and I don't even remember what I had to go do. Oh, well. It doesn't matter. So it was a low word count day. I only did an hour of writing and got very little done during that hour. But I'm increasing. I'm slowly increasing. And it's feeling like the book is gathering steam. I'm having a lot of good connectedness lately. So I don't know if I'm doing that on purpose. But on Sunday, I had brunch with some wonderful friends with Jim Sorensen. He of Writer Coffee, and his wife, Ming Lee, came along, who is a kick-ass trauma surgeon down at UNM Hospital in Albuquerque, and is so interesting. We were really happy she came along. And also Sage Walker, science fiction author and lifelong doctor. She was a emergency room doctor for many, many years up in Taos. And Sage is 80 now, and so we do this brunch in part to get to spend time with her. She ends up being in the house a lot because of family stuff. And so it was great to get her out, and we had a really good brunch. And I got a lot of finances done that afternoon. On Saturday, I got some done. I also sat around and read for like half the day. I didn't get out of my room till like noon. It was really nice. I woke up to snow Saturday morning, so I went on complete strike, and I sat in my armchair by the fire and read my book. I am reading Kristen Higgins' Out of the Clear Blue Sky. I really like Kristen's books. So yeah, that was great. Oh, and I wanted to tell you all something. I had recently bought a Nora Roberts book, because it was featured on BookBub. It was a BookBub featured deal. And I thought, oh, this is a new contemporary romance. And I haven't read a Nora contemporary romance in a long time. And so I should read this. So it's called The Right Path. Did any of you buy this? I mean, it was $1.99. So I'm like, oh, sure, I'll snap this up. Well, I did not read the fine print, people. So I'm reading this book and reading this book. And it was so rape-tastic. It was shockingly so, and not sexy. It was, you know, like this guy is like sneaking into her room and she's telling him to leave and he doesn't, and he's like pressing her down and forced seduction. And I know, I know I used to love that stuff. I'm sure I loved the Nora stuff. And but I was like, what's going on in Nora's head? What is she thinking? And I looked it up, and it was a 1985 book that the St. Martin's repackaged. Bless their hearts. I mean, I guess they're, making money so that they can pay people like me, so I can't begrudge them. But that really annoys me that it was like the repackaged 1985 book, and it showed. It just showed. And I know we talk about the rape-tastic 80s, and I'm a big, I love dubious consent, and I love a little bit of forced seduction, and clearly not like that. So that was an interesting revelation. I DNF'd it. I was like not enjoying it. So that's how it goes, right? But the Kristen Higgins is feeling like I really love her blend of women's fiction and romance and her insightfulness into human minds. And it kind of makes me want to write that. Not anytime soon, because I have enough to do. Yeah. So I actually had something industry-wise. Oh, okay. So I feel like all of my fodder comes from Threads these days. It's funny because I finally unfollowed that one author that I mentioned before because they were on there posting so often, and I'm starting to notice that people are saying things like, "I notice people talking about XYZ, so I'm going to weigh in with my hot take," and it's I don't know, it's not really doesn't feel like a positive environment. It's weird. It's like there's some great conversations about publishing, but then there's also some toxic shit. And I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, I am getting fodder from there because there was somebody who said that they felt like we should not be using the F word in fantasy because it, as soon as they saw it, and I'm being good, right? Because you all know I have a potty mouth. I had to pause to sneeze there. But I'm trying not to be potty mouth because of the whole YouTube monetization thing. They have this thing on there for those of you who don't upload stuff to YouTube, where you have to, for the advertisement, you have to say whether or not you've got like all these different kinds of graphic content, and including certain kinds of curse words. And it's mostly like at the beginning, but I'm trying to be a lady here, people. So anyway, the F word. I mean, this is the thing about social media. And I talked about this on Friday, right? With the whole let me Google that for you, is that people think that because they think a thing, that they know that they're right, with like out doing any kind of research or getting context. So anyway, some dipshit. I feel like I can say that, right? Out there is like, oh, I hate it when a fantasy book has the F word in it because it's too modern and it yanks me out of the story. So, like this whole thing about all these people out there who complain about getting yanked out of the story. It's like maybe getting yanked out of the story is actually you needing to work on your attention span and not the story at all. I'm just gonna throw that out there, people, right? Because there's, oh, it just feels like this level of entitlement. And I hate to be all shaking my cane and telling the kids to get off my lawn this morning, but apparently that's where I'm at. It's like it is not the job of the book to prevent you from being yanked out of the story. And it seems to be something that the younger readers talk about a whole lot. And I don't know who gave them this lingo, who started talking about it. But like if they run across a word they don't know, it yanks them out of the story. If it's a word that's too modern, if it's a word they don't like, it yanks them out of the story. And it's like, maybe you just need to concentrate on the story, darling. I'm getting myself into trouble for saying these things. But So, of course, lots of people pounced on this because, in point of fact, anyone who has done a modicum of research, if you typed into, and I could do this, let me Google this for you. If you type in how old is the F word, you will find out it is indeed a very old. It is one of our oldest swear words. And no, it is not an acronym for fornication under consent of the king. That is a myth. But it is a perfectly valid word. But the larger issue here is this whole concept of fantasy language. And if you're not on video, I'm putting great big air quotes around that because fantasy language is not a thing. I'm just going to put it out there. It is not a thing. All right. People talk about, and I have ranted about this before, that Tolkien is the gold standard for fantasy, right? I have had a friend who wrote science fiction, and we were talking about we were putting together a fantasy thing, promo thing, and there was like fa urban fantasy in there or something. And he said, "Well, you know, when I th he thought it shouldn't be in there." He said, "When I think fantasy, I think Tolkien." And I'm like, "Really?" So that would be like me saying, when I think science fiction, I think Heinlein. You know, we just go to like the last white man to have set a standard in the genre, and then we stop there, and nobody else is allowed to write anything different. Definitely feeling saucy this morning, aren't I? So for reference, I'm not even having, well, I did Google it, but this is. Here's some actual information to work from. Yes, Tolkien is well known, of course, for writing The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, The Silmarillion, associated books. He created a language, several languages to go along with it. You know, yes, undeniably great. I've read all of Tolkien's books. Not quibbling there. But if we look at the dates, so The Hobbit came out in 1937, okay? And he started writing it. I'm not going to be able to find it very quickly, but The Lord of the Rings came out in 1954, 1955, and The Hobbit came first, obviously. And he started writing that. I'm not going to find it quickly, but something like he worked on it for like 10 or 20 years. So the point there, and I do have one, is that that book came out in 1937, right? He started writing it, let's say 10 years before, okay? 1927. He started writing it post World War I, right? Well, for those of you not doing the math at home, this was 100 years ago. 100 years ago, right? Literary language was different then. Even without him having created languages for the races in his books, Tolkien wrote in a different literary style. And we don't require this of any other genre, right? We don't ask that women's fiction. I'm not saying that, well, you know, but Kristen Higgins doesn't write in the same style as Jane Austen. Therefore, it's this weird thing where like Tolkien got canonized. And now, any fantasy that doesn't use Tolkien-esque language is like somehow yanking readers out of the story. And it's just ridiculous. This is a hill that I will, if not die on, at least plant a flag and march around waving my cane, to mix a metaphor, that you don't have to write in fantasy language. There is no such thing as fantasy language. Right? What makes a book a fantasy is something entirely different. And maybe that's what Kelly and I should talk about on Friday, because she not incidentally said she would love to be on the podcast on Friday. So, you know, like what makes a book a fantasy? You know, the presence of magic, a secondary world, mythological creatures. Very often in fantasy, you can create an entire mythology, an entire religion. You can create different races of beings. It is a world that is not our own, but you don't have to make the language be the same thing that J.R.R. Tolkien wrote 100 years ago. Waving my cane at you all. All right, feel free to wave your cane with me. And on that note, I'm going to try to make this be a more productive week despite the traveling. And I will talk to you all from Eastern New Mexico University campus on Friday. You all have a great week and take care. Bye bye.